So could you identify yourself just to start? Just so I make sure that I've got somebody, you know, that, that people actually might know of.
Name, Sergio. Number, Kasabian.
Good. I've got the right person.
Yeah.
That's a good start. So you started the U.S. tour in New York City, and you're going to end it there. And this is this the full first full-on U.S. tour?
This is the first time we've been to America, so, yeah, it's been pretty insane, you know. Canada as well, we've played.
I don't know, there seems to be something going on over here. I don't know what it is quite yet, but we seem to have struck a chord with a number of people. So
pun intended?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. No, I'm sorry, I'm so tired, I didn't even realize I said that.
Yeah, we'll just keep going that way, and I'll take full advantage of you if you don't, because I do, that's what I do. So you play San Francisco tonight, now I'm going to really scare you. Then it's L.A., Arizona, New York, Dallas, and then South by Southwest, where I'll see you for the first time, although I've already seen a little sound check, so... But there's a mini British invasion going on of the U.S. shores. I mean, it's more than it ever has been, that's for sure.
I always get a bit wary. I think on both sides of the Atlantic, the media hype it up far too much, and I don't see it as coming over and invading anywhere and take... I mean, I don't simply see it like that. All we are is bands playing music, and then we've got slanted with this, you know, this Oasis thing, and these boys are going to be the next big thing, and it puts people off, and it... I don't think it should, you know. I think the second record will decide whether it's been a great year for British music, because a lot of bands have made good debut albums, but the all-important second album, is, you know, that's going to, I think, really show whether it's going to...
I'm going to save that, because you're a few questions ahead of me, but there'll be a band I refer to in their sophomore album, and you can probably already guess where I'm going to go, but we'll wait a few minutes. So you formed almost 7 years ago as schoolmates. What were the names of the band back then before you came up with the current name? It's been a while, that's for sure.
Quite a few. Shamley Brotherhood. The Shamley Brotherhood and Girl Man. They were like the two names before.
Now, what did you first play, and when did you really kind of hone in on the sound that you have now?
We first sounded like The Who and The Stones.
You played a little Who at Soundcheck there. That way, I recognized that tune. I knew someone else did that song.
Yeah, no, we decided to, like any band does, we got a bit, you know, we wanted to make experiment, and the way you do it nowadays is to get a computer. I believe anyway, and then you can approach it making music a lot differently, and not like a band. You know, it makes you think about things differently.
But you didn't come up with Kasabian until you were signed. How many folks come up to you and get the name right away? And then I'm going to talk about this more later, but what's the strangest pronunciation you've heard so far?
There's all sorts, Caspian, you know, and Kasabian. That's how it's really...
What are some of the strangest questions you get? Because obviously, we don't have to go over. My audience probably already knows, because I've talked about it enough on the air.
Strangest question is probably, where did you meet? Where does Kasabian mean? Because it's all in the biography we send out with every CD, so...
Okay, so I hear 60s and psychedelic and funk and beats all mashed up. Are you tired of people trying to peg your music as the next insert name of band here?
Yeah, I think every band does, though, but it's, yet again, lazy journalism, and I suppose it's easy to tell people that they sound a bit like this. It kind of... it numbs it down a bit, you know, but it gets annoying after about a year. It gets annoying, I've got to say.
The fact that you're willing to wait a year is better than most people I talk to.
That's true.
Well, you're a patient man.
I'm very patient.
Now, instead of a bio, per se, you have a manifesto, I've read, and at least on one of the sites. And it's hard to believe everything you read in that good old NME, you know, that magazine.
Oh, yeah.
So can you describe the music in your own words, so for everybody who's been reading the NME and every other piece of press?
The best way Tom says it best is ectoplasm rock. It's the crossing streams of Ghostbusters. The words are the movie, and the music accompanying it is the soundtrack.
And you do have to listen to the words, because there's a lot of messages there.
Yeah, you know, they're all kind of, they're all like, it's like Jacob's Ladder, the film, man. It's all kind of tripped out sort of mishmash of kind of psychedelic words.
So what isn't in the bio really is kind of your backgrounds, like, you know, how you learned to play music and your favorite breakfast cereal. So give me a couple of the NME things that I've missed, you know. Give me the real dirt that NME just hasn't really gotten to.
No, I don't think there's that many. I think we're cleverer than that, you know. We get away with a lot of things.
Okay, the recording of the album, what I read is that, of course, you surrounded yourself with a ton of your favorite music kind of for atmosphere. But then you found rats and went to Paradise Studios kind of in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, it worked. So how will you do it next time? Now that you've kind of incarcerated yourself.
Alcatraz, we're gonna hire that out for 2 months.
Good acoustics in Alcatraz. You could get reverb there.
I mean, if they let us, we'd do it. It'd be perfect. You know, secluded island, you know, and every now and again you get on a boat and come and see, you know, this beautiful city.
Well, you know, when I interviewed The Delays a while back, they talked about Rockfield Studios and that natural reverb that it has, you know, that Dave Edmonds has there. So I'm thinking that perhaps if you do Alcatraz, you don't have to bribe Edmonds to go to Rockfield Studios.
No, of course not. It's true. No, I'd like to go to Rockfield, man. Bohemian Rhapsody and all that sort of thing, you know.
So you also went all the way to Budapest, as I should say it, for the Clubfoot video. So given the times that we live in, have you gotten any negative response to the radical look of the record and, of course, the lyrics? Because it's all new here, but I'm curious to know what we're in for now.
No, not as yet. No, not as yet. We never said we were a political band, and we never came out. We don't believe in politics or politicians. We just, you know, I pay them their money to keep them off my back so I can live my own little life, you know. Look after my friends and my family and try and that's our message, is just, you know, following your heart and you know, just being who you are. So we've never really, you know, not a lot's been said, you know. It's just everyone's kind of got behind it rather than, you know, kind of been scared of it. I would say Muhammad Ali is probably one of my heroes, and I think that explains it best, because, you know, it's not arrogant so much, it's just you know, it's just banter, isn't it? It's just what you throw around the pub, or, you know, just between friends. But we have a few beers and we get a bit excited, you know. Hey. It's the scene. I mean,
I'm just not hip. What can I say?
I think you're very hip, man, because all that art rock.
I just know what I like. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
And it's art rock. I mean, it's a scene. It's a fad. It's going to come and go like.
But they change tempo in the middle of the song. Isn't that exciting?
Well, you know.
Gosh, golly!
I think they should carry on eating custard creams and Oreo cookies and leave us all alone.
On the other hand, there is a band from New York called Radio 4 that you would make a terrific double bill with. And they've only sold, literally, I think, 10,000 units here in the United States. But they've sold more in England than they've sold in the United States. So what do you think the thing is that's put you over that top, you know, and it's already obvious to me that you're going to rise very fast here because commercial stations are adding you like mad. I mean, I've played you simply because I liked you and I didn't know a thing when I started playing you.
Yeah.
But what do you think it is? Back to you and enough of those other guys.
Yeah, I think the breath of fresh air, and we actually enjoy what we do, and we feel very privileged and very lucky that we get to play music all over the world. You know, and like our heroes are like, you know, are the Stones and the Beatles. You know, we kind of. And now people think like the rock and roll lifestyle's dead, and it's all, you know, and people should be like, you know, reading poetry or, you know, being dead, like, tortured about being a musician. And I'm not, I'm just happy, and we all are, you know. And I think that comes across when we're on stage, and it comes across when people talk to us, you know.
And yeah, you're going to be on the same bill with Keane, and I mean, he's as tortured. I talked to him a while back, he's as tortured as can be.
Well, exactly. What's up with the guy, you know?
Oh, he's had a tough life, that kid, I'll tell you. It's been really sad for him.
You know, I mean, single mums with 3 kids living on a council estate. Now, there's someone to interview about being tortured, you know. Some little dick that's, you know, singing a few love songs to, you know, the over, 60s or whatever, you know what I mean? Shut up, I'll slap him if I see him.
I'll just remain silent, because I have to remain omniscient, because I have to deal with all these people. Was it cool to be nominated for the Brit Awards, your first time out?
It was funny, because we've only been out, like, 5 months, and the rest of the bands that were there had kind of been, maybe had 3 or 4 albums out, or just, like, had massive hype surrounding them. So, yeah, it was, we were robbed, but, yeah, it was a good night.
You were robbed. Okay, this is kind of, there are 2 trademarks I have, and this is my favorite one, and Cheryl's going to have a laugh for this one. There's a website that's worldwide, but here in the U.S., when people don't know what the hell they're talking about music, they go to allmusic.com, and they learn about the band. And my favorite thing is that allmusic.com divides you up into genre, moods, and styles.
Oh, okay.
And I've done this with so many bands, and this is quite joyful. So your genre is your rock. So I think they got that, you know, right?
Yeah.
Your styles are Brit pop and indie rock, which I really don't know what to do with. You're indie rock. But here we go. You ready? These are your moods. So if somebody's trying to think of buying your record, this is what they're going to get. Sprawling, hypnotic, druggy, trippy, rousing, enigmatic, all those years. Confident, urgent, stylish, playful, indulgent, freewheeling, dramatic, brash, party celebratory, and energetic. Which of those would you like to own?
I think, you know, sprawling, I'm not really sure
what. Sprawling, I know.
Sprawling kind of sounds like a building that's just been knocked down, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's a strange sight, man. Strange people.
Covered a Prodigy track. Any other surprises that happened at the live shows? The Prodigy track's certainly very cool.
That was, we got asked to do a cover, and we weren't allowed to do any of the ones we wanted, so we thought we'd, do a proper dance tune and put it in acoustic form. It was a good lab. But Lee Scratch Perry obviously did the original where they sampled it from, so we've tried to give it that vibe.
Indeed. Now, you closed the album with an 11-minute, well, officially closed the album, not counting the hidden track of Reason is Treason, but an 11-minute song. That's pretty darn progressive.
Yeah, the second album's going to get even more so, I reckon, as well. I mean, but with the idea, we're trying to get a balance between Doctor Who, Black Sabbath, and Blackalicious. So,
it's quite the dare to radio an 11-minute track. I mean, I'll play it, but...
Yeah, no, exactly. No, it's just, you know, it just felt right. And it warrants being 11 minutes because, you know, if you light a certain brand of cigarette before you start, then, you know, you finish very, very nicely.
We like to do what we call a musical sandwich. And so the Kasabian musical sandwich consists of two of your songs as the bread. Anything that you've always wanted to hear between two of your songs, I literally will use the rest of the time that I have an hour that I'm going to do this interview, and I will put the music together. So two of your songs and anything you've always wanted to hear in between, and no matter what it is, I will find it and I will play it. And I've had to search the world for a lot of things. And I'll send it to Cheryl, and Cheryl will send it to you.
This is very, very nice. Best question I've been asked all year as well.
Wow.
Okay. So we'll start with Club Foot. Right? Okay. So that's good. And then we'll go People Under the Stairs, San Francisco Nights, obviously of where we are at the moment. David Axelrod, Human Abstract. Then we should play Blackalicious, Blazing Arrow. Then The Who, Babby O'Reilly. Okay. I'm a Skelter for the obvious reasons. Okay, where am I? Iron Man, Black Sabbath. The theme tune to Doctor Who, as we were talking about earlier. In My Life, The Beatles, as well. Rolling Stones, Paint It Black.
And what are we going to close with from Kasabian?
Close with U-Boat.
Very cool.